this is Janelle from Anybody's, and you're listening to CITR.
Hello, hello. You are listening to 101.9 CITR FM. And today we have our first official hour slot of 24 hours of student power. With me today, I have Katie Tahir.
Tahir.
Well, I should know that by now because Katie's a dear friend of mine. And she's here to promote the UBC Yoga Club. So why don't you start us off before we'll have Katie just introduce a little bit what she does at UBC Yoga and just a general overview. And then we'll cut to a little bit of music and then come back for a big talk about
some good chats. Yeah, my name is Katie. I've been working at UBC Yoga Club for quite a few years now. I joined as a volunteer back in my first year of my undergrad. So I'm in fourth year now, so a little while ago. And I started as a volunteer and then got into, they were hiring an exec for the social media. So I jumped in and I actually managed their Instagram. So you should probably go and check that out. It's just the handle at UBC Yoga Club. They have, well, we have wonderful posts, very inspirational content. And then we also have the schedules posted on the story. And essentially, Yoga Club is the most affordable yoga available in Vancouver, which is really exciting. So usually most yoga studios go for drop-ins for about $18 to $25, anywhere between that. And at UBC Yoga Club, we have $5 drop-ins if you're not a member. And if you're a member, it's only $2, which is crazy cheap. And right now, for our memberships, we have a deal going on until the 26th of January. So you got to hurry, but it's only $15 for a membership. And then after that, it's $2 drop-ins. Or we have this new run-in thing where you can get an unlimited class pass. So $15 for a membership plus a $25 unlimited class pass, and you get unlimited classes until the end of April. So $40 for unlimited yoga for 4 months. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, and just for some context too, like most yoga studios are like for a drop-in, a toonie at UBC Yoga, but like on economy nights at yoga studios, it's like maybe $10-$15. Mm-hmm. And on a regular night for drop-in, we're like looking at like upwards of like $20 to $30. Even like, mm-hmm. and then that, you're like three quarters of the way through a whole semester of UBC Yoga unlimited classes,
exactly,
or like yeah. one class at your local
studio or whatever. Studio. Yeah, I mean, it's great. And it's also all student run. So we hire teachers who are always, you know, obviously certified yoga teachers, myself included. I've actually been teaching there since last semester. And our teachers get paid really well. So all the money goes towards the teachers and for AMS fees, which is the student union organization at UBC. So yeah, it's a great way to have a community of people who are around the same age as you. Maybe we do also actually have a lot of older practitioners that come in. It's just a great space. Yeah, I'm
and
a big advocate.
That's what I really want to highlight through this hour here at CITR is how talented and how well trained and well versed in yoga the UBC Yoga Club is, and we'll get into how much Katie has done herself to personally develop her yoga practice and how much she's done on the research front, and even going out to where was it exactly are you
again? I was in India last January, which I mean I hate to make it seem like, because obviously the kind of yoga that we practice in at Yoga Club and the kind of yoga that I practiced when I was in India is in no way, shape, or form like quote-unquote traditional yoga. Obviously, it's changed a lot since it was first developed, but it still has its roots from the subcontinent of India. So that was really exciting for me to get to go there and kind of, you know, practice in the heat and get a glimpse of that, and then be able to bring that knowledge over here and share it with fellow practitioners.
Awesome. So we're going to talk much, much more about Katie's research and Katie's practice and Katie's experiences. And we really want to get you inspired by to join UBC Yoga and get involved.
Speaking of that, Sasha, do you practice yoga at UBC Yoga Club? I don't think he does.
I actually
we
have.
Gotta pull. Oh, you have? Oh,
I've
no
been
way.
To your, I've been to your class, Katie.
Oh,
come
you
on.
Have. That's true. That's
look
true.
At
oh,
this.
My gosh. Look at me.
Yeah, I support. And I had a great, I had a wonderful class. Mm-hmm. There's a big turnout, too. And it's very, very welcoming and non-judgment space. I've always, like, I admire yoga, and it's always been something that I've really wanted to be a part of at UBC, but I was always like reluctant as being like a little shy to be like the only dude.
I mean, it's kind of scary, yeah, because usually when you go to local yoga studios, it's definitely a little bit scary if it's your first time or whatever, but that's the great thing about yoga at UBC and at the yoga club is that it's like so welcoming. There's all sorts of people. And yeah, it's just a really welcoming, warm space, I think.
Yeah, I totally felt that it was a safe space when I went.
I'm so
and like,
glad
especially like
you
going into
that.
It feeling nervous about it, because not everyone does. I mean, some people can feel
detached from that. Yeah, totally.
But being someone who's self-conscious about practicing yoga with like some students that I'm not usually used to doing, it was a super pleasant experience, and the instructors And Katie specifically was the only instructor there, but I imagine that they all
they're all so wonderful. Mm-hmm. And most of them are like way more qualified than I am. Most of them have done numerous trainings, and I mean almost all of our teachers teach at the local studios as well. So for them too, like I've talked to a bunch of them, and for them they always say that, you know, yoga club is different in the sense that, I mean, a lot of the times it's better pay for the teachers than at other studios, which is kind of interesting, but I guess that's because of rent and control and whatever. But yeah, they do always say that yoga club like offers this really great practice and space for them to teach, because they know how accessible it is, and that's always really nice to know that, yeah, it can reach a lot of people.
Yeah, awesome. Love so it. We've got Do You Wanna by Porches coming up. Brand new single by Porches, came out 2 days ago. Young Aaron Main on the new track, moving in a towards a new direction as he does project to project, but really encompassing his like indie roots with his the EDM sounds of the house. And I've been a little bit in love with this song recently. I saw playing it, so I hope that you guys enjoy it too. And then we'll come back and dive a lot more into the specifics and details of Katie's practice and UBC yoga, and even just about like
life
and in general, because Katie and I are good friends, and I want to catch up with her because I haven't seen her in a while.
I haven't seen you in like a week.
Yeah, so to sit in for that, and we talk about interesting stuff too. So
we're good conversation.
Yeah. So don't worry, is what I'm saying. All right,
stay tuned.
Do You Wanna by Porches.
So funny. I like posted this on the. I think I wanna dance, or do you wanna dance, or try to fuck my eyes out to turn them in. I think I wanna dance, or do you wanna dance. I am so happy I could die, happy I could die, happy I could die. But I just wanna watch you live. I think I wanna dance, or do you wanna, hope you wanna dance. And then I think about you and your friends, and do they wanna dance. I bet they wanna, bet they wanna dance. And so I lie to myself. If you wanna cry, too.
Just a foreign faction, irreconcilable conflict at parties. I feel like a a chain reaction, but sadly I don't know how it started. And never wanted anything, and I never got it. And never wanted anything, and I never got it. Think of younger days when I lived for my life. Was everything a man could want to do? I could never see tomorrow. I was never told about the sorrow. And how can you mend a broken heart? How can you stop the rain from falling down? Tell me can you stop the sun from shining? What makes can a loser ever win? Somebody please help me mend my broken heart and let me live again. Still feel the breeze that rustles through the trees, and misty memories of days gone by. But we could never see tomorrow. Would you believe that no one ever told us about the sorrow? So how can we mend a broken heart? And mine is, how can you stop the rain from falling on my house? Stop us, that old sun from shining. What makes the world go round? And sometime I have to say, I just wanna live again, baby. How can you mend this broken man? Yeah. Somebody tell me, how can a loser ever win? Baby, I'ma say, baby, help me mend my.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to 101.9 CITR FM. In case you're just joining us, this week is Student Power Week here at the station. And tonight specifically is 24 hours of student power. And it's 24 hours straight of student broadcasting, student-created content. And this is the first, we just had our student exec kickoff show where we just talked about what was going on around the station and bantered for a couple hours. And now we've got our first official segment of 24 Hours Student Power, which is myself, Sasha, events coordinator here at CITR, interviewing Katie Taher. Sorry,
I've known him for like 4 years now.
Yeah, and I always have trouble with it. It's like, sorry, yeah.
Is your last name is Balzik?
No, it's Balazik.
Oh.
Yeah, so, like, last names are tough. Last names are super tough.
Last names can be tough. Well, actually, for the first, I think, like, 4 months that I knew Sasha, I used to call him Sasha because a lot of my family is from the States, from United States, and they... Like, usually people don't say pasta, they say pasta. And so I would pronounce Sasha's name Sasha. And this one day I said, Sasha, can you do this? Or Sasha, give me this or whatever. And he was like, Katie, you know my name is not pronounced Sasha, right? And now he's looking really awkward at him.
Yeah, I don't remember doing that.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm really sorry, that sounds really
intense.
But I feel like awkward phase. You know, like, I feel like it was, like, okay for you to call me out on it.
Yeah.
And I felt really bad. I was like, oh God.
Yeah, but I must not have been like actually irritated.
No. But I don't know.
Anyways. So here we are today at CIGI talking about Katie's here too. So all of the student programming here today is in, a lot of it is in the, with the idea of promoting student clubs and student organizations mm-hmm. here at UBC. And Katie's here as an executive at UBC Yoga. And we started off the show talking a little bit just about the details of how to sign up and get involved in UBC Yoga. And all these episodes are being put on our CITR website, so you can feel free to go and backtrack to the start of the episode. But now we're here, and I want to ask Katie a little bit about how her research and schooling ties to her yoga practice, because I do want to shine a big light on how talented and well-trained and well-versed the UBC yoga teachers are and how much you can get out of the program for such a little price. So why don't you tell mm-hmm. us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think originally the way that my yoga practice and my role at UBC Yoga Club kind of tied in with my schooling was, I mean, initially just the fact that I was able to really enter into a state of very calmness, like a lot of calmness and well-roundedness through practicing yoga. So that definitely helped initially with my schooling, because it kind of acted as kind of a break. And the great thing about yoga club classes is that they're right on campus. So in between breaks, in your lunch break, you can just pop into a class, flow for an hour, and then be able to reconnect with your day and go on. So that was really great. And then in the last year or so, I have kind of taken on the role of researching yoga, and specifically UBC Yoga Club. So I'm actually studying anthropology, and for my honors project, for my honors thesis, I'm looking at the ways that yoga is situated, the practice of yoga is situated at UBC Yoga Club, and looking at numerous things through that. So I'm doing a lot of field work at Yoga Club, where I'll do participant observation, which basically involves me being fully present and observing and participating in the yoga classes. Also a lot of the times teaching and guiding the classes. And then through that, I've also been engaging with some interviews. So interviewing different members, execs, and teachers at the club. And then also expanding that with doing a lot of literature reviews and historical analyses on the topic of yoga, and kind of tracking the globalization of yoga, and then through that also considering the discussion of, you know, appropriation when it comes to the practice in its modern form.
Yeah, awesome. Oh, so why yoga? Like, why? I like, of all, often we have musicians in mm-hmm. here at CITR, and we'll ask like, why, what compelled you so much about music that you want to spend hours learning the guitar mm-hmm. or spend hours learning how to record or whatnot. So yoga, what about yoga made you want to make it one of your primary passions or hobbies? Because you do dedicate a lot of time to
Yeah, sometimes I think about how much time I spend not only on this new project, but also just on like practicing yoga in general. And I think honestly, like the only way to answer that is to just kind of go back to when I first started practicing. So I think my first time doing yoga was when I was in grade 9. So I must have been like 14 or 13 or something. 14. Yeah, I have a pretty late birthday, so I was probably 14. And for my 14th birthday, my dad gifted me a yoga mat and a yoga DVD. Because he's always been very into meditation, and that's really helped him throughout his life. And yeah, I guess he just thought it would be a cool thing for me to do. So I started doing that video, and then eventually I got a yoga membership at the local studio way back when. And at that time, the prices were a lot more affordable, which was great. And then through that, I started to build this community of fellow practitioners and just kind of fell into it. I don't know. I can't really explain it. And yeah, I guess that's kind of what my research is looking at, though, why people actually practice. And I think if you ever have gone to a class, you know, there's this feeling that gets created of like complete flow.
Zen. Calmness.
Right. All those words that we use to describe the feeling of just complete absorption, the complete combination of the mind and body as connected. And yeah, it's just, it feels so good. I think that's the only answer. Yeah.
I want to bring you back to what you said. Like, you're saying that 14 is when you first got into it, which is pretty young for getting into yoga. And you also mentioned at the time that the prices were different. Can you like share a little bit about where you felt the yoga landscape was at that time, being 7 years ago, to being something that I don't remember hearing a lot about yoga that long ago. I remember feeling like something only like hippies did, or only like the stigma, or only like my moms would do, or California housewives. But now it's become a thing that is very different. And why don't you, like, could you maybe talk a little about how you think we got here?
I honestly think social media has a really huge part in that. There's so many, you know, yoga videos on YouTube, so many different apps of yoga instructors trying to spread their practice. And then also, I guess, just through the social media and through the interconnectedness of the world that we now live in, yoga studios have a bigger shot at kind of marketing themselves. And then that goes also hand in hand with the fact that I think a lot of people are a lot more aware of their body image. And I mean, unfortunately, I think for a lot of people, or not unfortunately, I guess to each their own, but for a lot of people, yoga is really purely a physical practice to get their body moving, maybe to tone up, to slim down, or whatever it may be. So I think that's also all of that just kind of combined. And then, you know, with Lululemon really making waves and all those different Instagrammers of posting yoga poses and stuff, I think that's really had a role in shifting through the popularity of yoga.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I think that I probably knew what yoga pants were before I knew what yoga was.
Yeah.
Which says like a lot.
It definitely does. Yeah. I mean, Lululemon is so big, and I mean other brands as well, but just like the localness of Lulu.
So like you said, a lot of people do yoga just to tone up, but yoga is much more than that. It's like a mind body soul type connection, and it's a lot about like breath movements and like meditation. What do you think that that's something that maybe needs to be like educated a little more in our like Western yoga practice? Because I would agree. Like, I don't think, like, my mom is a very avid yoga practicer, but like she would she always says to me that she's just like, I could never meditate, or I can, and I'm like, you kind of are if you're doing yoga. And she's like, no, like, I'm, it's just like, and I'm like, interesting. Like, I wonder. And I think that's probably a thing that's more common in Western yoga. Probably, like, what was your experience going out to India? Like, was it more of a thing that people felt really aware of the spiritual nature of yoga while you're practicing out there versus, like, comparing to the culture here?
Well, I think the context is really important. Like, where I did my yoga teacher training, you know, it was a yoga ashram that was specific to yoga. Not everyone in India practices, and so that's really important to highlight. But I think obviously in that regard, everyone in my training was really like dedicated to the practice. You know, they were putting a lot of hours in to this practice. And I think the difference between that and practicing here in Vancouver, or just in the quote-unquote West in general, I think it's just this, I think it's really everyone just goes into it thinking, oh, I just want to tone up. Oh, I've heard it's really good for you. I'm just going to try it out. And I do think most often than not, even when people, and this is actually something I'm arguing in my thesis, is that even when people think that they're just attending a yoga class to, you know, move their bodies, breathe a little, and then leave, and it's solely a physical practice, it's solely, oh, I want to get stronger arms or build my core, I feel like there's still something that seeps through the nature of yoga, that kind of creates this mind-body connection. Just by honestly breathing and moving with your breath, because that's a really huge component in yoga, is like, you know, your inhales and your exhales all are kind of woven with the different movements that you do, which is really beautiful. And that also like just creates this calming sense. You know, I think it's like scientific, you know.
No, yeah, it totally is.
Totally, yeah. So I think, yeah, I don't know. I wish, but you know, it's also difficult to just step into something being like, oh, this is going to change me, because that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
That's not always the case.
And it takes time.
And it takes time. And yeah. Honestly, it takes practice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think being in a really good supportive community is really important, especially when you're starting out your yoga practice. And that's why I think UBC Yoga Club is so great, because it really offers that. Yeah, and it's just so great to, you know, make new friends, even if, you know, you're all there to work out. So be it. But I do think that mind-body connection is nevertheless created, which is really great.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually got a start like 2 days ago on my meditation app, Headspace.
Oh, Headspace, it's, good app, yeah.
Yeah, it's great for if you are thinking that perhaps you want to get into meditation, but like fear the idea of sitting by yourself for 10 minutes. It's guided and it's developed in a way that has you hooked and inspired to come back and keep using it. It is pretty expensive, but like the price,
know there was a fee.
Yeah. It's, I think it's $10 a month,
okay.
But for my argument is like for mental health, like It's like pretty darn worth it.
Mm-hmm.
But so the stat was, I think that people who practice meditation at least twice a week have reported on average being like 25 to 35% happier.
Wow.
Which is like, obviously you can't like rate happiness, but they obviously did it in a study that
was appropriate,
Yeah, it was appropriate and showed like the proper proper statistics and evidence necessary to make a claim like that. But yeah, it shows like in the age that we live in, this like this mental health epidemic where mm-hmm. everyone seems like you can't meet somebody that's not struggling with some sort of depression
mm-hmm.
or anxiety. How big yoga is right now and how big it should become, because it is encompassing like mm-hmm. meditation, and maybe perhaps that's part of the cure to, not the cure, but
a step towards it maybe. Yeah. I mean, I'm a huge advocate, and you know, I'm always very aware of my big, like, you know, advocation for yoga, because I do see how much it has helped me, really stay grounded, and not saying that I don't get anxious or I don't feel sad, but I do think just starting from a really young age, it has really helped kind of plant these seeds in me. But I am very aware of, you know, if my friends are struggling, and a lot of the times I'll have this tendency to be like, well, why don't you just come with me to this yoga
yeah.
class, or come do this meditation with me. I can guide a meditation. And I'm aware of that. And I think a lot of times people are kind of more closed off to it because it's like, oh, you think an hour of yoga is going to like fix all my problems?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I know it's not going to, but it's something, you know. And yeah, so I think I'm a huge advocate for yoga. I think everyone should be practicing. I think everyone should be meditating. Because it's not even like something out of the ordinary, you know what I mean? Like, as humans, we now live in this super like hyper demanding world.
Mm-hmm.
But initially, you know, a lot of the times, like, we would just, our only task would be to like find food, and that would always be in a very meditative way, you know. We would just be like walking through forests and
yeah.
foraging, or even like hunting is very meditative. So I think that's just kind of like reconnecting with that, again, flow state of complete absorption into the present moment, which I think a lot of people are lacking.
Yeah, and being like alone with your thoughts.
And being alone
like
with
so
your
many
thoughts.
People
yeah.
aren't comfortable being alone with your thoughts. Even like self-proclaimed introverts are just distracting themselves with television and whatnot. But like,
yeah.
It's so rare these days that people are comfortable being alone with their thoughts. I noticed like at restaurants, if I'm with someone and they go to the washroom, like I try not to pull out my phone and I'll just like sit there. And I realized that like I'll be sitting there, just my hands sitting in front of me, kind of just like looking around. And I realized how strange that probably looks to someone, because it's like second nature. It's like, can you picture someone at a restaurant like waiting for someone to come back and they're just like sitting
there, yeah,
like looking off? Like, no, it is instantaneous how fast people like pull out their phones
at
a restaurant or anywhere, that a bus stop or anything. Like, people can't just like
stay off it, yeah,
with their thoughts.
Yeah, and I think that's so important, because if you can't live with your thoughts, how can anyone live with them or live with you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
And it's the idea that your thoughts are not you.
Yeah.
You're just the observer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So a good thing to do is, sometimes if you're just staying silent and observing your thoughts, you can imagine them as cars, and you're on this big road and you're just standing there outside and these cars are just driving by, and you know, some might want you to get in, but you say, I'm just going to watch you drive away from me.
That was like headspace.
Did they talk about that?
So they do the car thing, but it's brief. But they also use this analogy that's like, you're going for a walk every day and there's this big hole in front of you on your same walk path. And the hole is like a metaphor for getting really like caught up on a certain thought that makes you anxious. And meditating is not about going up to that hole and going around it. Meditating every day and getting the practice is about walking and then falling in the hole. And the next day you go and like you think about not falling in the hole and then you fall in. Mm-hmm. But then on the third or fourth day, you look at the hole and then you step to the side and you acknowledge the hole that's there, but you carefully walk around it and you say, I'm not going to give that thought the energy. Because as well, the thoughts are always going to be there no matter what, but you're not going to like power it, because with your own energy, like, because you can think about any anxious thought forever. Like when you can't sleep, like you listening at home, I've definitely experienced this, thinking about one small anxious thing that's happening in your life for about an hour
and over and over. But you just gotta watch it drive by. You just gotta look at that hole, and I really like that hole metaphor. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Good, yeah, there's a visual too that comes with it.
Oh, cool. Video. To plug my friend, I know Headspace is probably a great app.
Yeah.
But I actually didn't know that you had to pay for a membership. Yeah. My friend posts YouTube videos. He's an amazing guy. I met him when I was in Australia last summer. And his handle, I think, is Sam Khan. So it's SamKahn. And he posts beautiful meditations, usually anywhere from 10 to an hour and a half long. And they really vary in both in time and in topic. And he has an amazing voice. And I try to do one of his videos at least once a week. It's really awesome. Wow. You should also check it out.
Yeah, I'll check it out for sure. But like, quickly backtracking to like the importance of like yoga and mental health. I have I'm in a business communications course right now, and it's mostly about public speaking, but we had to write a...
You're doing a great job at that, public speaking.
Oh, thanks. we had to do a journal entry every week, and there's prompts and whatnot. But the prompt from the weeks was, we had to watch a TED Talk about how schools kind of like kill creativity, like the modern school system.
Mm.
And like the problem was like, what should we do to change that? Like A was like, do you agree? Which I did. And then B was, what can we do to change that? And I was thinking that like making it part of the university curriculum. But my spin on that is like, I don't necessarily think that that's as important as making like something like yoga a part of like the university curriculum as like a mandatory course.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we learning like writing, like English research writing after doing like grade 12 English, which is like one of the most pointless courses at UBC, if you're listening to Santa Ono. like, how much more beneficial would it be to teach, make a mandatory university credit where you're great, like where you learn about the importance of like meditation
mindfulness.
And like, wouldn't that do leaps and boundaries for the mental health epidemic at universities, rather than like some BS like first year mandatory credit?
You know, I see where you're coming from, and I know what you mean, but I'm going to have to disagree. I think institutionalizing it and making it a mandatory thing would make everyone hate it.
Yeah, so you're thinking people would like I could totally see that.
Yeah, because there is the UBC Meditation Club, mm-hmm. Which does a great job. There's also the UBC Meditation Zen Club, and then the UBC Yoga Club. Yeah, I think if it was a mandatory course, I think people would resent it. I think it would be weird how it, because I don't think you can teach mindfulness in a classroom.
Yeah, and then being like graded, you know, on that is,
yeah,
like tough.
How would that work? Yeah. And I also, jumping back to the English one, I think at least the English course that I took, it was Words 150. I think all art students need to take them. I don't know what yours was. It helped me so much.
It was really nice. Yeah. Mine was like, I forgot which one. Mine was like, writing for research.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I just felt like I just felt that by university you should know how to write an essay.
Fair.
And like we should be putting our energy towards other things, because for the entry that I wrote, I said that we should have like an open-ended creative project that's just a pass fail
running, yeah,
that you should be doing. That could be anything from like trying to start your own business,
mm-hmm.
to like making a painting portfolio or
being in a creative writing class.
Yeah, just making any certain creative endeavor a part of your curriculum, because the argument that this TED Talk makes, I think it's, mm-hmm. Ted Robinson, cool. A TED Talk on YouTube, and he talks about how the biggest what's becoming one of the most valuable things in the real workforce, in the business world and whatnot, is a creativity, which he defines as creating original ideas with value.
Mm.
And for something that's becoming one of the most important things and the most important things for people's success, it's not mandatory in business school or any school for that matter. Oh,
right,
any,
like a creative, yeah.
Yeah, but it should be, because
it definitely should be, yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think creativity is so important, and so often in school we can just kind of forget about it in uni, and yeah, definitely. But I know we both have taken a lot of creative writing classes, and I think for any UBC students listening right now, I would recommend those. They're really amazing. My favorites are the poetry classes with Sherita Warner. Amazing lady. Such great energy. And yeah, it's a great way to like be creative and still get credits.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. So we just have a lot for you to, a lot of
to
food
chew on.
To chew on. But we're just going to cut to a few commercials, because I didn't play my first half commercials. So we're gonna have a bunch of commercials. Not too many. Just a healthy portion of PSA and commercials. And then we'll come back and Katie and I will wrap it up, this awesome chat. And then there'll be more student programming coming up in like 10 minutes.
Flies by when you're having fun.
Yeah, time does fly by. Awesome. So we got a Fun Drive ad coming up for you.
Fun Drive 2020, CITR's annual fundraiser extravaganza, is almost upon us. This year's theme is Crush on CITR. And since we deal primarily in sound around here, we started wondering, what does a crush sound like?
Ding.
Hey, do you want to make out? It's like that filter on Instagram. It's like, da-da-da.
Well, as great as those answers were, we're kind of hoping this year a crush sounds a bit more like... Because your donations are what allow us to do, well, almost everything. Hosting free radio and podcast trainings, publishing the amazing Discorder magazine, producing local independent news, promoting and playing local music, and so much more. Our Fund Drive goal is to reach $30,000 by February 14th. You can show your crush on CITR right now by visiting citr.ca/donate.
Let's get ready to rumble!
4.
It's Shindig 2020, CITR's annual Battle of the Bands extravaganza. 16 bands enter, one will be left standing.
It's happening every Tuesday in January at Redgate.
For our fourth and final week, we have Attawolf and the Tribe, Strutes Monroe, Babe Corner, and Paperwave.
Doors are at 7:30, bands at 8. $5 at the door, though no one will be turned away for lack of funds.
Finalists will be announced on Wednesday, January 29th.
Come out on Tuesday to hear some of the Lower Mainland's best bands throw down for the top spot.
Cannon drill!
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Discorder magazine has been supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
Ned Russin of Title Fight brings Glitterer to the Biltmore Cabaret on January 26th. His debut album, Looking Through the Shades, was co-produced by indie visionaries Sandy Alex G and Arthur Rizik. Tickets are on sale now at mrgconcerts.com and Red Cat Records.
Hello, welcome back to 101.9. I'm sorry, it's late, and I've been here since like 9 with the student kickoff, so I'm getting a little tired. But given that, I think Katie's done an awesome job at energizing.
I've had a lot of fun. I can't believe the time went by so fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't you just reiterate a little bit about what
you... I'm here for UBC Yoga Club, which is... the most affordable yoga studio in Vancouver and greater areas. And right now we have a promotion going on for our student membership, which is only $15 until the 26th of January. So you got to hurry up. And essentially we just offer very affordable yoga classes 5 times a week. And all of our teachers are certified yoga teachers, most of which have had more than 200 hours of training. And yeah, I'm here with Yoga Club. Follow their Instagram at UBC Yoga Club. I run their Instagram and hate to promote myself, but I think their posts are pretty cool. Yeah.
No, you're here to promote.
I'm here
yourself.
To promote. Yeah,
that's
you're
why
right.
I had you on the show.
That's true. I'm here to talk
about you.
Yeah, he did. I was very excited when he asked me. Yeah. And this is my first time being interviewed. I've interviewed people before, but I've never been interviewed. So yeah. It was an exciting time.
This is only
time.
My second interview. And my first one was earlier today.
Oh, what? Yeah. I had no idea.
Well, I interviewed.
I feel like you did great.
Yeah, thanks.
How did this morning go? Did it go well?
Yeah, well, I interviewed a couple of gals that go about perform music under the name Quite Like This.
Mm.
Both very pretty singers. They record with 4 female singers.
Wow.
And they make pretty folk tunes. They've got 2 recordings out, and they're really good. And they played live in studio as a part of our daily showcase this week of student bands at noon playing live in the station, live on air.
That's amazing.
Yeah. They were really killer. They did guitar ukulele cover of A Punk by Vampire Weekend.
Wow.
And I like turned my head to Violet, who's the spoken word exec, while we're watching it. I was like, I can't say I've heard a ukulele slow cover of Vampire Weekend, especially A Punk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. I was like, this is I could get on board.
And their
with
name
this.
Was Quite Like This?
Quite Like This is Beatrice and Jade. And they were so lovely. They came in and they chatted. I interviewed them. And they, like, one of the gals, like, shouted out that her father, like, had a bad voice. And then I was like, do you think anyone's, like, are any of your friends and family listening? And then they were like, oh, yeah, yeah. And, like, immediately she gets a text from her father. And it's like, you said what? You said I could sing? And then I like, was like, hey, if you're listening, it's Sasha out here, Jade's dad. Like, I'm sure that you have an amazing voice. If you could, like, produce a daughter that had such a good voice. So
right.
I'm sure she was just, like, that classic, like, my parents can't do anything type attitude. My parents are good at nothing. They're evil.
My parents are good at everything.
Yeah.
If you're listening, mom and dad.
You know, do you want to do any shout-outs? Like,
I'm shouting out Yoga Club. That's what Yoga I'm Club. Here for. Yeah. Cool. I feel like do you want to do any shout outs?
That's all right.
That's all right.
Yeah. I'll
that's all right.
Yeah, I got no one. I mean, I could shout out to someone.
Shout out to someone.
Shout out my mom, you know?
Yeah.
She's a great lady. I'm sure actually shout out my grandma. Because since I told her that I was working at the radio station, she like it's like evolved into like telling her like friends at the old folks home that like her grandson is like he's a real DJ and he's gonna work at like CBC and whatnot. Like it's like evolved this grand tale
fabricated
grandparents love to do. Like my sister, like the best, we always had this joke growing up that was like my sister was in the National Ballet. Mm-hmm. She just did like, she's a great dancer, but she's danced a part of like growing up doing like the whole, doing a couple competitions. She went to like dance school and like, yeah, she was very talented, but by no means was she going to be a professional. But my grandma would always like tell, like her friends would come over and visit and be like, oh, like Bianca, you've got into the National Ballet. And she'd be like, not quite. But then we learned to just roll with it.
Right. Yes, like, grandma.
It's just, you know, our grandparents, like, doesn't take anything away, and then our grandparents get to brag.
They just get happy about it.
So happy.
That's so true. My grandpa always brags about me too. Yeah. He like goes around his friends. My granddaughter goes to UBC.
Yeah.
Like that, grandpa. It's not that great of a school. Yeah. Like, it's not,
yeah. UBC is a great school.
It's a good
shout out.
Shout out to UBC.
Yeah, yeah. Like CITR, the one
wouldn't
of the,
exist.
One of the, yeah, wouldn't, no one exists. Best community radio in Canada.
I'd have to agree.
Maybe even North America. Yeah, we've got a big facility.
A beautiful facility, that is. Yeah. My first time here, and I've been very warmly welcomed.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Awesome. Well, thank you for coming by. Hope you guys got some good food for thought, and I really, really hope you guys, any of you were inspired to come by and sign up for yoga. I'll leave you guys with a couple of beautiful late-night folk tunes, and then we'll put you on to the next 24-hour of student power segment. Yeah, we're doing good until now. Slept a little bit, but yeah. Mm-hmm. have a great night. Thanks for listening in.
You know, I try to see things from your side, to leave things undefined, but where would you advise? Generate a new design for the missing piece I have to disguise. Swallow paper with the header that your love is just a myth I devised. In things like that you can never take back. Love me if there was a time.